This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Well, you won't be going around the world at the moment with that bloody volcano.
It's so true. Welcome to Detours.
Yes.
Listeners.
Yeah. Now, isn't that amazing? Thousands and thousands and thousands of flights cancelled. And they don't know when the volcano is going to stop. It's a bit like people attacking Christine Nixon. You don't know when that's going to stop.
But the difference with Christine Nixon is you actually... Well, different to the volcano, you know that volcano will eventually stop spewing its toxic filth into the air.
Yeah.
And you know with Christine Nixon, the little group of people that are out to get her won't stop until she's gone.
So the cabal. It's a cabal.
The cabal.
I like that word, a cabal. Anyway, good afternoon and welcome to Detours. This is Macca and...
And I'm Greg.
And Greg, and we're here. It's just us guys today. Lindsay and Jody are engaged in other... matters today.
Well, we've sent them out on assignment. They've both got a very special task to perform today that only girls can perform, and we won't go there, will we?
We won't
know anything about what special task women.
But while they're not here, do you have a cheerio? Let's do a cheerio. Go on.
Well, I think we'll introduce our guest Martin Cowling today because Martin may even have a cheerio.
You'd have
as
a
well.
Cheerio, Martin.
Lots of Cheerios, guys.
Even better when you turn his microphone.
I have lots of Cheerios, guys.
Excellent.
Hello to everyone in Iceland for a start.
Welcome, Martin.
Thank you very much.
Sad
that Jodie's not here.
Oh, look, there's a cheerio
Lindsay,
for you.
But there, hello to Jodie. She seems to avoid meeting me at the moment. She and I have been moving houses, so we keep passing the night as we shift furniture around the state, I think.
But we did bump into you on Bourke Street.
You did.
In fact, Swanson Street just a couple of weeks ago.
For the March on Marriage.
That's right, yes.
State Library.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even more fantastic when they give it to us. Sorry.
will we get equal love? Will we get equal marriage in Australia? Or will we have to continue to travel overseas to countries and come back and be guests on Detours? I'm not sure.
It's a good question, isn't it?
Hmm.
Whether we will.
It depends on what happens with Tony Abbott, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I mean, I didn't agree with a lot of what he said, but I do give him credit for coming on and saying it.
Hmm.
I think... that took some guts, and I'm sure he got more coverage than he thought he would.
Yeah.
But that's all good. And, of course, has Ted Baidu been on yet?
He was on Doug's show last week.
Doug's show, yeah.
But look, you know, in Iceland, we're going to talk about Iceland with you today, Martin. Now, because some travels you had,
we've got to send
there.
Some cheerios.
But in Iceland, before you do your cheerios, in Iceland, if a politician like Abbott came on and talked about his poor choice of words, they'd throw him in the volcano. They'd probably explore about what was behind the poor choice of words because he didn't unpack any of that. He still sits there with his homophobia. Now, in Iceland, where we'll talk about soon. I don't think it's the same
culture.
Well,
it was a fascinating thing because when the Prime Minister of Iceland is a lesbian and it was not reported in the Icelandic press, not one word was mentioned till the US press picked it up. And then the Iceland press talked about the US press talking about it with amazement that it was an issue because in Iceland it was not actually an issue. She's a lesbian, lives with a woman, and...
Yeah.
But they were fascinated. The media coverage that there was there was all about the fact that the US media was stunned.
Well, they were, and I mean the way that they reported it was quite interesting. I mean, I saw a report on Fox. Of course.
Poor thing.
I know. Every now and then, now you see, I watch it every now and then to remind me.
Yes.
Just one of the unfortunate side effects of democracy.
So Fox News is like the tube of tin ear ointment you have in the cupboard. You've got
that's
to have
right.
It
yeah, no, or you know the you know the lotion for getting rid of crabs. Like it's you know you've got to have it.
Well, how do you take the crab lotion on the plane when you can't have anything more than 100 mil?
You can take a small bottle. Apparently.
A small bottle. Yeah. But now I'm going to do a cheerio. I got a cheerio to Chow Cow. And to Tony in Pasco Vale, if he's listening and he's not checking the oil. So there you go. I haven't done cheerio for ages. And, of course, Sula and Elsa. There you go. That's it. no more Cheerios.
I've got a couple more. I've got a Cheerio to my friend William, who's doing an exam at this very moment, and that's why he's not listening today. And to my friend Steve, who wants to go to Iceland in August.
Oh, fantastic.
Now, I've been to Reykjavik. excuse me, the airport. But
a cheap flight between the US and Europe, was it?
Yeah, yeah. Sort of touched down and threw a bag of crisps at me. But fascinating landscape and people. Let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, people don't think about Iceland as a tourist destination, but they should.
I definitely think they should at the moment.
Well, not right at the moment.
Right at the moment, it's fantastic. You get to swim in volcano ash. You know, the last time that volcano erupted was 1821 for 2 years.
Oh, for 2 years.
For 2 years. That's why everyone's nervous at the moment, because it's erupted twice in the last 1,000 years. And the last one was 1821, lasted for 2 years. And at the same time it erupted last time, its neighbouring volcano, Volta, also erupted. So they're waiting for it to go up as well.
Of course, the planes that can fly are turboprops.
Yes. Yes, which they have a lot of in Iceland, actually.
They
interesting.
Do. Yeah.
Now, we're going to play a little bit of music to get you into the swing of things today with Martin Cowling, our guest here on Detours. But we have had a message from people that want to know if we could ask our listeners, if you're going to Iceland or going to Europe...
You're making this up.
What's the best phone carrier you can take from Australia that would allow you to roam with very little data cost? Now, if you know the answer to this question, SMS 0427JOY949.
And we'll mention your name on air.
We will. Or you can email onair@joy.org.au.
Or you can ring 1300JOY949 or 1300569949 if you have a Huckleberry.
You're here on Detours with Macca and Greg, and our guest today, coming up, is Martin Cowling.
Bah.
And you're on Detours with Macca and Greg, and our guest, Martin Cowling. Now, Martin, Pet Shop Boys, that's actually a really good track. When I heard that, I remembered how much I like Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah, I've always loved the Pet Shop Boys. Isn't that sort of a gay compulsory thing?
Well, perhaps it is, but all my straight friends like Pet Shop Boys as well. Have you seen them?
Yeah, Tim, twice. Saw them last year in Las Vegas and saw them here in Melbourne. Last few years was fantastic. I started dancing 3 seconds into the concert and didn't stop for the whole concert.
What are they like in Vegas? What's it like to see a show there with the boys?
Full of lots of people from all over the world, all over the United States and all over the world. There were a lot of people not from the US at that concert. Lots of Brits and lots of Aussies and lots of Kiwis around me. Lots of Arab boys.
Big venue in Vegas?
It wasn't huge.
No?
Yeah, it was at the Hard Rock Hotel in the joint there. And they only used half the space, so it was quite an intimate venue. I actually felt like I was almost on stage.
Well, you would have been. I've seen you dancing before. You would have. You've been up there on a pole.
That was a secret. That was a secret.
Now, we were talking earlier about Iceland and obviously volcanoes and such things, but... We got a couple of questions about mobile phone use in Iceland and which carrier, if you're going to roam, is going to be the most effective cost-wise, and Martin has an answer to this.
Don't use any Australian carriers for data anywhere in the
none
world.
None at all.
None at all.
That's it.
The cost is prohibitive. I had a colleague who went to the US. I have a mobile that doesn't roam. I switch SIMs in different countries. And I have a SIM with a large American company that I won't name. And,
can go on.
Yeah, AT&T, because they use iPhones. Mine's an iPhone. And anyway, I had a colleague of mine who took his iPhone to the US for 2 days and came home, and his bill was $1,500 Australian dollars for those 2 days. Anyway, I was in the AT&T shop, and I said to the woman, the reason why I'm getting a SIM card here is because of the roaming costs on data. She said they're everywhere. It's around, biggest complaint is huge. And I said, for example, I had a mate of mine who was here for 2 days. What do you think his charge was? And she looked at me, she said, between $1,300 and $1,600 for 2 days. I said, exactly spot on. Anyway, I did the same thing in New Zealand, $1,000 for 3 days.
Oh, no.
So I now have a New Zealand SIM too.
Yes.
So I have a SIM for Europe, a SIM for the UK, a SIM for the United States, a SIM for New Zealand, a SIM for Australia.
And after my experience with three mobile service, Hutchinson 3, when I was in Japan last year, I think I get a SIM for Japan as well.
Yeah, three do roam with their phones a bit. You pay less on their phone call costs, but their data is just, it's everybody's frightening cost.
If you're with Vodafone in Europe, when you're in Australia, you actually don't pay the overseas roaming costs. But here in Australia, if you're with Vodafone 3, you're slugged like a wooden bull over there. It's bizarre.
Yeah, I think it will shift, but I don't know.
It's one of those unfortunate little things that some people aren't aware of, isn't it?
Well,
when they travel and they get back, they get home, and they go, oh, my God.
Well, I was slugged. I was slugged for a $700 bill visiting a foreign country. I went to Tasmania for a week. And I was shocked to find the whole of Tasmania was roaming, and I didn't register that, including Hobart.
Oh, that's incredible.
So I roamed the whole of Tasmania.
Now, what's the best local carrier in coverage here in Australia, in your opinion?
Well, in terms of coverage, it's Telstra, but am I allowed to say? I think their costs are way above Vodafone and Three.
Well, it depends on the plan.
Mm. So our caller that called in.
He said he reckons it's Telstra. Terms of coverage here and overseas, although Optus could be okay too. I mean, it's funny though, isn't it? I mean, we've become so used to being able to be in touch and, via our laptops, via our phones, via our Blackberries, that one of the impacts of this is that phone coverage in Europe is also being disrupted by the volcano. Mm. So, what will happen if it keeps erupting? I mean, obviously there's not going to be flights, but what's going to be the solution? I mean, what are the airlines going to do?
Well, which airlines have the turboprops? You've probably got Lao Airways will connect with...
Yes, you have United Airways as subsidiaries. You could fly Qantas Link.
Yeah, but the planes haven't got the range. You'd be like
Sky West. We could do little hops like they used to do in the old days. We could go from here to Dili to Jakarta to...
Bring back the flying boat.
Economically, it could be a massive disruption. And the interesting thing was, this is the first time in Europe they've had this disruption.
Mm.
There's in the history of aviation, they've never had a volcanic eruption.
Well, I had someone in the office said, well, you know, look, I rang the airline and said, well, can't you book me on another flight? Well, what's the point? Because they actually don't know when they're happening. And the other issue that's going to happen is that eventually the hotel rooms in some of these hubs are going to fill.
Mm.
So, if you fly to Singapore or Bangkok, you may not be able to get a room.
Well, I understand in Europe they're chartering every ferry that moves.
Yes.
And the Channel Tunnel train is full.
Mm.
But the implication, the roll-on for the whole tourist industry right across the world is huge.
Yes.
Just huge.
So make friends in Singapore, so when your plane lands there, you can stay with someone.
Yeah, go onto an appropriate website and find somewhere to stay.
Now, speaking of Singapore, we've got Jonathan listening now, who was on the show late last year. Jonathan's a steward. He flies the 380s for Singapore Airlines.
Yes.
And he's due to take leave late this evening and should be in London on Monday, but will the plane leave Singapore to get to London? Probably not.
Because every airport in London is shut.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which is five airports or six airports, I think.
Yeah, and they're all bad.
Well, I avoid London if I can anyway.
Mm.
Now, Iceland.
Let's
talk about Iceland. I want to know about the scenery.
Talk about the scenery, why
I went there. Well, I was working in Scotland. And I thought, in theory, there's direct flights from Scotland to Iceland. I didn't know anyone had been to Iceland. Iceland had an economic meltdown, and I heard it was cheap. So I thought...
You went there to buy the country.
Well, I turned to buy the country, except you're not allowed to buy the country. we'll talk about that in a moment. So I went... The week I was actually working in Scotland, the following week was Gay Pride in Iceland. And I thought, I don't know anyone has been to Iceland. I don't know anyone's been to Gay Pride in Iceland. Mm. So a couple of friends of I decided to meet up in... I've got a friend of mine, we meet in exotic locations every year, and we chose Reykjavik this year. So we flew into Reykjavik, we stayed there for Gay Pride, and then we went to the north of the country, and then we went to the Arctic Circle.
Ah, yes.
So to answer your question in terms of landscape, mixture of landscape, small country... Got no minerals or resources. It's only been settled 1,000 years. Some of it looks like you're on the planet Mars, Moon, Jupiter, Saturn. It's so bizarre. It's craters and rock. Some of it's fertile fields. Some of it's this high up mountain stuff, which is volcanic, then ice, then green. But the fascinating thing is the lack of ice right across the whole country.
Yes.
Iceland is actually green.
Yes.
And Greenland is actually ice.
Yes.
Which is kind of a misnomer.
I reckon someone got confused about 1,000 years ago with the names.
Yeah, I think so. Mm. Yes.
So, but the scenery is haunting, isn't it?
The scenery is just
unbelievable.
Magic. We went to a place called Thingvella, which is where the world's first democratic parliament in modern times was established in 930 AD, a democracy. And I felt the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. It's this incredible rock formations that were in the center of the country, and they felt that's where the gods were residing.
Mm.
And I can see why, because it's these incredible gray granite rocks, and it's right on the fault, because the fault line runs through Iceland. So half of Iceland's on the North American plate,
yes,
and half of Iceland's on the European plate, and slowly the center of the country, I think it's 9 millimeters every decade.
It's splitting apart.
It's actually splitting apart. And the centre of it's Thingvella, which is where the parliament was.
So when it splits apart and you get these volcanic eruptions, that's actually brand new soil and earth and substance coming up and creating new globe.
So that's why it's very green, because where the ash has been and the lava and stuff, it's extremely fertile. But the volcanoes in Iceland apparently are very ashy volcanoes, hence why we've got the problem, compared to the volcanoes in Hawaii, which are more the lava type.
Yeah.
And because the heat is reacting with the ice that does exist, it accelerates the explosive effect and boosts the ash content.
Ah, that makes sense, doesn't it?
The only thing I can't tell you is how to actually pronounce the name of the volcano, because my Icelandic is not that good. It starts with E and it's 24 letters long, I think.
So when you get there and you arrive there with no local tongue, well, for the time being, when you arrive there with no local language, how do you survive?
How do you get 100% of the population that are Icelandic speak English. It's compulsory. There are two things that are compulsory in Icelandic schools. Well, there's a number of things that are compulsory. One of them is to learn to swim. One of them is to learn to speak English, because the only way they can survive economically, they felt, was to learn English.
Is to trade.
Yeah. And so the minute you arrive, every sign in Iceland is in English, so much so that the sign for toilet is WC, which is a sign that we all know. But in Icelandic, there is no W sound and there is no C. So they've actually adopted the international word for toilet, which has no language equivalent in Iceland.
So how do they... how do they pronounce it? Just the English form?
They say WC.
The only language they have.
It's the only time they ever see W and they ever say C. So in terms of getting around Iceland, it's incredibly easy because all signage is in English. Everybody can speak English. So you never... I mean, it's great to... when you walk into a shop to say tak, people appreciate that, which is, you know, g'day. But, you know, you don't need to say anything more after that.
You wouldn't want to get that wrong, would you? Now the food. Did you eat any reindeer balls?
I ate reindeer, but not reindeer balls.
Why not?
I didn't see any.
Oh, well, they're usually hidden.
Not the reindeer or the dishes?
No. I just that I worked for 100 years ago. I worked for a food importer that used to import them from Iceland in a tin.
That's why you didn't see any. There's none left.
I'd describe it as a beef stroganoff sauce. I'd never ate any. Could never bring myself to. But yeah, that was just tin and...
And you imported them, you're telling me off for not eating them.
Yeah, but there was three in each tin.
Yes.
So whether each reindeer had three, or whether they had two and...
Perhaps they have spares. It's cold.
Well, the food of Iceland's interesting because Iceland was a poor subsistence country for most of its existence, so they ate what they could. So the main dishes are cod.
Yes.
And other types of fish. The most revolting dish... which I've never eaten, I've smelt but couldn't eat, is a fish that's actually buried in ash under the earth till it rots, and then you actually eat it rotten. There's also a bird that they do the same thing to, and you eat it rotten, and it just smells revolting. They do eat puffin, which there's lots of puffins around. It's a bit like we had some puffin sushi. And they serve whale meat, and they're very proud of the fact that they can serve whale meat, but we didn't meet anyone in Iceland who actually eats it.
Mm.
They all claim that the tourists come to Iceland and eat the whale meat that they're proud to serve.
Now, did you hear about the Californian restaurant that was found to be selling whale meat from Japanese, you know, from their scientific research?
Right.
And they traced it via the DNA.
Okay.
And the restaurant owner is going to be, is in serious trouble.
Wow.
And is actually likely to go to jail.
Wow.
Like, because it's a serious offence in America. Yes.
They're calling for all whale catchers to be DNA checked and on a database. So you can check your
stuff. Yeah, that's...
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the other two things that Iceland makes that were beautiful is they have a huge dairy industry.
Mm.
Well, by their standards, huge dairy industry. And they make the most beautiful yogurt I've ever eaten in my life, called Skia. And skyr is a thick custardy-type yogurt that's low in fat and apparently really healthy for you. But the other thing that the Icelandic people use it for is to throw at politicians because it sticks to them. And in the big demonstrations last year, lots of skyr was thrown at politicians. The other thing they make is chocolate. And they make this beautiful chocolate. And their specialty is salty licorice, which is what the Dutch eat, actually dipped in sweet milk chocolate. And it's the most beautiful
taste.
Yeah,
it could be
taste.
All right. Yeah, it
could
be
beautiful.
All
right. Oh. Now, we're going to play some music just so we can race out and get something to eat now. We've got food cravings listening to Martin Cowling.
Well, just think about putrefied fish.
Yeah,
if you want more food cravings, come back at 1 o'clock.
So what you could do is you wouldn't have to worry. You just get a bit of roadkill and bury it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you almost could. Well, the roadkill, people actually take the reindeer that they knock over and take
it home.
And serve up the steaks.
Mm. This is Macca and Greg on Detours, Joy 94.9.
It's pure joy, 94.9.
You're on Detours with Macca and Greg. And
oh, how supple we're being today.
That's beautiful music, right?
Yes.
Frederick Omar.
And he's all the way from Iceland.
All the way from Iceland.
Oh, just beautiful.
Didn't you see him on the tram last week, Greg?
I'm sure he was.
There are no trams in Iceland.
No. He was probably coming here to buy the reindeer balls. Now, we've got an SMS from Michael Glover, and he said earlier this week he had a blood nose in Berlin. Oh, Michael, you poor darl. He went to hospital in an ambulance. He wasn't asked for money or to sign anything. They just photocopied his travel insurance details. Well, that's very German. They're very efficient at things like that. But he flew out of Finland just before the eruption. Now, he wanted to know, you know this, Greg, would travel insurance pay for his accommodation if he was still stranded in Finland, or would Finnair pay? Well, a lot would actually depend on your...
Finnair won't pay.
Well, he has to purchase it.
On your ticket.
Yeah, Finnair won't pay because it's a weather-related trouble.
Yes.
So any airline will not cover weather-related.
Yep. And so this is one of the big things about having travel insurance.
Mm. Your travel insurance may or may not pay. You need to check it.
And, you know, because if you're there and you... And of course, what's going to happen is as the hotels fill up, the prices will go up. So you could quite easily, you know, have paid, you know, $2,500-$3,000 to fly to Europe and got you that after a few days. Yeah.
So you might actually find Changi airports full of people sleeping on the floor.
Yes.
Well, they're rolling out gurneys in some airports across Europe where people are actually given a bed to sleep.
Good thing
in.
It's not January when it was so freezing over there.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Imagine that.
So, yes, Michael, you and everyone, you should have travel insurance. But as you say, like, you need to check your travel insurance to whether it covers that.
And I think a lot of people assume that airlines will cover weather-related, and they specifically say they won't. And I've seen people yelling at airline staff, and airline staff can't do anything.
Yeah.
If there's a mechanical fault as a result of the weather, then the airline will cover it.
But then again, you see, it also depends on not a hard and fast rule, but... if you were, say, for example, flying, you'd paid a market rate for a business class or first class fare, you'll probably find the airline will do something for you. But if you're on an Apex fare, no. See that chair over there? You go and have a nap over there for a couple of days.
That'll be $50 extra.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you have club lounges in Iceland?
They do. They have SAS lounge. It's shared with Iceland Air.
So you're able to get in there?
I was. Fantastic. Not for long.
I discovered you there.
No, I've got a gold thing, so I can go in.
Fantastic. Now, I'd be interested in exploring, Martin, some of the locals you met, some of the people that you briefly met and got to form a friendship with and can remember quite well.
There's only 318,000 people in Iceland. So if you bump into a local, you're more than likely to see them again. My experience of the Icelandic people is that they were politely friendly on first contact. Politely, you know, kind of on the ice end of cold. The second we met a woman at the gay pride shop, we picked up our pride dance tickets, and she was, you know, I'm like, hello. She's like, hello. And we're like, how are you?
Good.
Here's your ticket.
Thank you. Yes.
The second time I saw her was at the launch of the gay pride, and she came up to me very warmly and she said, hello, Martin. remembered my name. How are you tonight? Looking forward to tonight. Really warm, which it was lovely. And then the third time I saw her, she came running up to me, gave me a huge hug, and we were the best of friends, and we'd known each other for 100 years, it felt like. So it was interesting. It was kind of this, and that was the experience we had. The same with our hotel people. The first time we arrived, like, room's not ready. Coffee shop opposite.
Yes.
And then by the end of it, they were inviting us round to the spa, which spa is a big part of Icelandic culture. So it was like amazing.
Did you go to the spa?
Of course. Every day.
Now, tell us about the spa. Is this like a city bath spa, or what does it look like?
Every suburb has spas.
So big public spas.
Big public spas. And homes have spas, hotels have spas. It's part of the culture. And I went with one mate I met at the Gay Pride. We just went to his local spa. And they have, it's all heated by underground water. So the water's piped to the spas at 70 degrees, and then they cool them for different pools. And then they've got big pools that are heated, and you can go there all year round. And people sit in the spas and chat after work, during lunch breaks. It's where you meet people, where you talk about the gossip, what's going on.
So it's not water in the spas that's going to leach the colour out of your Speedos or take the hair colour out of your hair.
No, it's phenomenal. There's a slight sulphur smell all the time because it's not. And the hot water in your hotel is heated by that. Their electricity is generated by the heat. They have no carbon impact of their heating because it's purely. So the locals were friendly. They were fun. I thought they would be blonde. They're mostly red-haired and dark-haired, which was a surprise to me because the Vikings that started up in Iceland all invaded the Scots and dragged home women off the Scottish islands. And so there's a massive correlation between the Scots and the Icelandic in terms of genetics.
Now, we're going to have a little bit of music coming up. Another track. Come back and explore your travels more. You're on Detours here with Macca and Greg, and Martin Cowling is that third voice.
Bah.
The look of love is in your eyes. Let this be just a start of so many.
That's beautiful music again, Martin.
Yes. Isn't it?
You're here on Detours with Martin Cowling, the guest with Macca and Greg.
That is the biggest gay icon in Iceland, Páll Óskar. And
great.
He is a DJ there in one of their clubs. He has a TV show. He has a radio show. Everybody loves him. He's been in the Eurovision Song Contest a couple of times. Never won, but they still love him for being in it. But one of the things that's amazing about him is every year they have this big service at the cathedral, and he does the music for it. Everyone in Iceland knows he's openly gay, and he and the bishop are up the front of the church doing it. And during Pride Week, they actually had a cathedral service.
Well, they're not
in front of the church doing it.
Yes, you know what I mean. doing the cathedral service for Christmas. Thank you for clarifying. And during Gay Pride, they actually had a cathedral service at which three bishops turned up, and Páll Óskar's doing the music, and it's
fantastic.
An incredible culture. Half of Iceland turned up.
So it's a really accepting society there.
Very accepting society.
And why do you think that is?
Very accepting of some things. Their racism's not good. They can be a very racist country.
With regard to what, just anyone who's not from Iceland?
Anyone who's black or Asian.
Okay.
But having said that, there's a large Thai community in Reykjavik. Mm-hmm. There's three Thai restaurants, and they had a float in the Pride March, which we thought was amazing. In terms of gay issues, it's not been an issue for them.
Mm-hmm.
Very relaxed about it. One of the things I thought was amusing was we arrived and we were going down the main shopping street. So you can imagine going down Bourke Street Mall.
Yeah.
Every single shop was decorated for Pride.
Mm.
And everyone was excited about it. Half of Iceland comes to the Pride March.
Okay. Mm. That's great.
That's huge. And to march, the actual Pride March itself, I mean, how do you compare it with a Sydney Mardi Gras or a Melbourne Pride?
It was like a Melbourne Pride. It was like even smaller than a Melbourne Pride. And it was very sweet, is the way I described it. It was almost naive. But what we laughed at was we kept looking at each other and go, where are the homosexuals? Because everything about Pride was integrated. So there were families marching all the time. There were people bringing their young kids to watch it. It was incredibly...
So it's a chill out.
It was total chill out. People were there. We went to the Pride dance. It was completely mixed and completely accepting, completely relaxed. I saw this hilarious thing where a guy obviously thought another guy was really cute. And he started dancing with him and started to get a bit close and stuff. And I worked out the other guy was straight. And he just did this incredible funny twirl, twirled the gay guy who was interested in him away, smiled at him, shook his head, grabbed a girl and started dancing with her and pashed her. And just gave this lovely signal that said, yeah, I'm straight. But there was no aggro, there was no violence about it. It was very nice.
Mm. And where does it come from? I mean, where did our culture sort of unhitch and become homophobic?
I think their isolation, because they're one, they're basically almost all related.
And they have to get on.
Even, I've got to tell you the story about how the parliament came down, because I think it's one of the hilarious stories which describes to me. Iceland basically, they broke all the rules. They got rid of all the rules. And the people who did it were mates who went to school with the people who were running the banks in Iceland.
Yes.
Iceland is now
and
broke.
And the supermarkets,
yeah.
Yeah.
Spot on.
Banks and supermarkets.
Yes. The whole of Iceland, every Icelander owes 30,000 euros, man, woman and child. It's going to be a nightmare to ever pay off. The people of Iceland went from being poor to wealthy for a few years to being beyond poor.
Yeah.
And were furious. And they all knew the people they were furious with. And so they started a demonstration with pots and pans outside Parliament House to drown out the sound of the debate. And it grew. They called it the Kettle Movement. And it grew so big, Iceland's only got a few police people. And so every police person was put to guard the Parliament, the President's House, the Prime Minister's House and the state broadcasting. There were no police in the local police stations. There's very little crime. There's 3 murders a year in Iceland. And the police were on duty from 7 a.m. to midnight for these demonstrations. After a while, the demonstrators had a meeting with the police and they agreed to shift the demonstrations from 9 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And so the demonstrators would start, the police would turn up, and the demonstrators would turn up at 9 o'clock, and then they all shut down at 6 o'clock and went off and had drinks together. That was still too much. And the demonstrators met with the police again, and they came to an arrangement. And the next day, a group of citizens turned up with orange armbands, and the police went to work in the normal police stations, and the orange armbands became the police for the day. And they would be rostered on as police. At the end of the day, they'd take their armband off, and the next day they'd come and protest and be a demonstrator again.
How sensible.
The other amazing thing was that at one point, someone threw a rock. They were throwing skier. They were throwing yoga at the politicians, and that was accepted. Someone threw a rock, and the demonstrators grabbed the person who threw the rock and sent him home and said, "We do not do violence at Icelandic demonstrations."
And sent him home.
So it's a fascinating... Anyway, the parliament eventually fell because the whole of Iceland was against them.
So it's about people being reasonable and relating with other people and understanding these outcomes that are shared.
Yeah.
Do they have gay marriage?
They have gay marriage. Yeah.
Oh, they do. Okay. Yeah. Now, because we had a message, if Iceland's so accepting of gays, then why is gay marriage not allowed? Bobby?
My understanding is allowed, if I'm wrong.
If he's wrong, Martin will walk naked down an Icelandic street.
That won't be hard. There won't be anyone there.
Now, I think the interesting thing is, so, okay, if you go there, let's say you go there for a holiday, what are you going to do, apart from sit around in spas and search out reindeer's balls?
You can do a number of things. The first thing is, I'm ignoring that comment, Mecca. The first thing is you can spend a couple of days in Reykjavik, the capital.
Yep.
They have 21 theatre groups in Reykjavik,
mm-hmm.
A city of 180,000 people. It's pretty impressive because it's bloody cold in winter. In winter, the Northern Lights.
Yep.
Then you can do sort of hiking things, and then you can do some extreme sports.
Yep.
So you can do skiing and heli skiing and all those sort of things. We did hiking. We flew up also to the island called Grímsey, which is off the north of Iceland, and that's where the Arctic Circle actually passes through Iceland,
yes.
Which is the furthest north I've ever been in my life, 66 degrees. So there's a combination of sort of extreme sports, hiking, touring around, looking at these amazing waterfalls, some of those incredible waterfalls, beautiful scenery in the world, alien landscapes.
Sounds great.
And if you're a photographer or a
videographer, stunning.
It would be amazing.
Absolutely stunning. Just don't go in winter. Because we were there in summer and the sun set at 20 past midnight and rose again just after 2.
Yeah.
So, you know, night was for 2 hours. And but in winter, it's reversed. So yes. They have grey the whole time.
Mm, to match a lot of the landscape.
Yeah, and a very depressed very depressed mood in winter. And
now, can you do the sales? What can you bring back from Iceland?
Well, at the moment, chocolate, licorice, there's not a lot in Iceland to buy. T-shirts, a lot of outdoor gear. The thing, and a few souvenirs, they've got no wood. They've got no metal. Everything's imported.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot there you can actually buy. The clothes, not many clothes are made there. They're all imported, which is why they're in trouble, because financially they can't afford their imports anymore.
Okay.
I brought back a stuffed puffin and lots of chocolate. So there's not a lot to buy.
Now, we've had a message from long-time listener Peter Stevenson. He said, just back from New York yet again this week. Sorry, back from New York again this week. And it's interesting that coughing is beginning to get attention in New York, led by a few Aussies. Yes, and a friend of mine in New York had told me that a lot of Aussies have opened, little coffee shops and stuff and are doing really well. He's going to come on. He'd love to come on and chat about that. And he and Ian have bought a house at Cherry Grove, which I fantastic. Think is Fire Island.
That's yeah. awesome.
So I'll be spending some summers there.
Yeah.
You know, you could buy a house in Detroit for about $4.
And buy a whole street for $10.
I'd prefer yeah. Fire Island. I think oh, they're yes. on the money there.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. But
what's the coffee like in Iceland?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. They've got a coffee shop chain called Café Tur, which we felt my father actually came and joined us as well with his wife. And he decided that was the best coffee in Iceland. But I'm a hot chocolate drinker. And I decided they had the best hot chocolate I've ever tasted.
What made it so good, do you think? What was the...
It's just their dairy products, so yeah. fresh. I think it must have been the cow the day before.
Yeah.
Because everything's so close. The interesting thing of talking about property and buying property was I was starting to look at property in Australia. So I was kind of curious to know what the prices were there. And I was talking to a guy I met there and said, now, how much would that flat be? And he said, I don't know. And I said, what about that apartment? He said, I don't know. I said, what about that house? I said, I don't know. I said, no offence, but most Icelanders are ignorant of property prices, because Australia, most people would have an idea. He said, no one knows what our properties are worth because you can't get a mortgage. So no one is buying and selling property. And they've actually set up websites where they barter property, and there's complicated arrangements. You have a holiday house in the north, I have a house in the capital. Can you throw in a boat and a car with your holiday house, and we'll swap it for the house in the capital?
It's incredible.
Absolutely. This is a modern economy.
So if you came with money, a bucket load of money, could you buy a property there?
No. Officially, Iceland is not allowed to buy property in Iceland. But unofficially, you can find a local Icelandic who's sympathetic and needs the cash.
But then how would you transfer the ownership?
The local Icelander would have to own the ownership, and you'd have to have an offshore agreement that said you were the actual owner. People are doing it, apparently.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's pretty good.
Well, there's always ways around things.
Now, Martin, you could introduce this bit of music. We're going to play a bit of music to take us out today.
It's my mate, pal Oscar, isn't he?
Oh, yes.
Yes. I heard him so many times during Gay Pride Week. He was doing everything all the time. And we're playing Internacional?
I think we are.
I think we are.
It sounds like it, doesn't
it? Sounds like it to me. This is a good disco one.
You've been listening to Martin Cowling here on Detours with Macca and Greg.
So we'll catch you next show. Coming up, of course, is Pete Dillon and Cravings. And, of course, news before that.
And next week, Travis DeJonk coming in, joining us and talking about New Zealand.
There you go. Yeah. This is Macca.
And Greg.
On Detours, Joy 94.9. Thank you for listening. Bye.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.